Tie mori ora. He onore. He kororia ki te atua. He maungarongo ki te wenua. He wakaro pai ki ngā tangata katoa. Hanga ai te atua, he ngākau hau. Ki roto, ki tēnā, ki tēnā o mātau. Whakatongia tō wairua tapu, he āwhina, he tautau i a mātau. Hei hoki, hei ako hoki i ngā mahi mō tēnei rā. E tū, please stand. Ko koe i o. Ko koe i o, mātua te kore. Ko koe i o, te wai ora. Ko koe i o, te pukenga, te kaihanga o ngā mea katoa. Ko koe te toka, te maunga teitei. Ko koe i o, you are supreme. You are supreme over all the nations, you mortal God, uncreated. You are supreme, pure living the source, my rock, the highest place, the very breath I take, I wait before you. You are supreme. Lord, we thank you. We honor you this morning. We ask that you be with us in all of the things we do. In the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. So, a little bit different this morning. Already. We will have some music later on, okay? But I just wanted to make mention before we get started. This is our Whānau Kai Sunday. And it's a special one. We don't have an AGM normally as a church. But once a year we try and create a space like this where we can just give a little bit of an update of things to do with finances, things to do with what we've been doing in that particular year, and all sorts of other things as well. So a bit of family business day today, all right? Kapai? Sweet. What we did when we did our karakia this morning, as many know, we honored God. We give honor and glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill to all people. And that was the call of the angels at the time where Jesus was born, heralding his birth. But then it goes on, it says in the prayer, in our karakia, Lord, develop a new heart inside all of us. Instill in us your sacred spirit. Help us and guide us in all the things we need to learn today. Amen. So this is not a sermon. This is a bit of a conversation, a bit of kōrero, and different ones will be contributing at different stages. So can I have that first slide up, Scotty, with the City Life Church on it? Second slide it will be. Yeah. So if I forget anything, and you want more information, City Life Church operates under the City Life New Plymouth Trust, and it's got the CCI number. And if you are familiar with our koha envelope, I think it's there. No, it's not. Okay. We can change that. Right. Our CCI number is available on our website too, I trust. So anyway, you can check out anything that you want further details on by going to the Charities Commission and looking up our name and number. So next slide, please. One of the things that people often get confused about in church life is that the church is to do with the building. Which it's true. We're just so fortunate to have a building to worship in, to run different events in, to bless our community in. But the church is people. And I wanted to speak, first of all, once again, to the people who kind of assist, other than yourselves, in doing some operational things and leadership things and governance things. And I've just, most of you will know that the staff include Beth and myself and Debbie Previtt. Now, Debbie's going to be standing and sharing a few little prayer initiatives soon, along with our other staff, Lydia Hanfira, who's chuckling over on the right there. So Debbie and Lydia are going to talk to us a little bit about some new prayer initiatives. But we also have, for those of you who don't know, Nathan Ferry. Nathan is in the back there. Can you just stand, Nathan, please? Nathan is our most recent addition to staff, and he's our operations manager. I don't know what we've done without him, just quietly, but so here he is, and we're just totally blessed to have him help with some of those things. The other people who are involved maybe in the spiritual oversight, I guess that would be the easiest way to describe us, overseers, caretakers, whatever, are the kaitiaki. In the Bible, the word elder is used. It's got about three different connotations. It happens to be wrapped up in a beautiful word in Te Reo Māori, kaitiaki. And so we operate kaitiaki tanga. We oversee different things from a spiritual perspective. And those kaitiaki include Beth and myself, David and Bronwyn Robertson, most of you will know. So we bless you guys. And Blake and Brooke Nielsen, who are coming in the second service. So they've got children and a whole bunch of them. So they come when there's a children's program on. So that's awesome. But I want to just mention a very special group that are under, kind of a little bit under the radar in some respects. And these are people who are responsible for the governance of the trust, the hiring and firing, the setting and keeping of policies, those sorts of things that don't really sound very fun. But these people are just amazing people with such a great heart. And I'd like to introduce them to you if you don't know them. Deepak Ahluwalia at the back is our chair. Alistair Hodgkinson. And where are we? I'm just going around the room. Where's Lynette? Where is she?
Right over there.
Oh, Lynette, over there. Lynette Millich. excuse me. And Alan Chapman. Where are you? So there, Alan Chapman is our treasurer. My goodness, I don't know what we'd do without him. And myself. Right. So and we're in the. Oh, thank you, Naomi Nui. We're in the process of conversation, and there's at least one new trustee that will be coming on board very soon. But we'll keep you posted on that. So I'd like to just pause here for a moment, and I'd like you to all repeat to me, mō taku he. Mō taku he. Got it wrong, right? A little bit more on that later. But I wanted to just make a mention. In our church 40th celebration recently, there was an omission where I had in my notes to honor the current trustees, and it appears that I haven't. So, mō taku he, Lynette. Mō taku he, Alistair. Mō taku he, Deepak. Mō taku he, Alan. I don't have to apologize to myself, right? But wanted to take ownership of that. So, anyway, more on that later. So, but what's the most important thing in life? There's a hakatauki, which is this he tangata, he tangata, he tangata. It's the people. It's the people. It's the people. So, for those of you in those critical roles, we just want to honor you and say, ngā mihi nui, aroha nui. Big love, big thanks. Would we all agree, people? Let's give them a hand. Yeah. Excellent. Right, this is the fun bit. Here we go. Next slide, please. One of the things that it takes to run any organization, any business, any household is putea, money, right? Money is enables us to do things, doesn't it? And one of the things that the trust's responsibility is to handle the finances with integrity and transparency. And there's an interrelationship between kaitiaki and trustees about direction and things that need to be done. And there's a tremendous interplay that goes there. But anyway, we get money in and then there's money out. Okay, so isn't it wonderful that the money in is higher than the money out, right? These are figures over the last 2 years. And once again, if you want more details, they're on the Charities Commission website. We also have a sum that's invested in on-call accounts for different things that need to be done. One of the things I can report to you officially is that we've just received a small grant which will enable us to paint the building this summer. So it's a praise the Lord. But some of that finance, of course, we used in that. And there's other things that we used the finance for. Can I have a next slide, please? So this is the different categories of expenditure, which you can see there. It's a little bit faint, but the majority, as you can see, goes to the staff. But then the operating expenses in that orange area. There's community expenses. There's administration. There's work on our property, and we give in our trust deed. Some of you may or may not be aware that it's in our trust deed that we must give a minimum of 10% of our income to various mission initiatives. Now, I want to explain also that there are different mission initiatives. A lot of times people view mission as just over there, but we believe that mission occurs everywhere. Our mission is to be witnesses to God's goodness wherever we are. We're ambassadors for Christ. But we've chunked those into a couple of different categories of ministry national and ministry overseas. And there are... Oh, I think I might have... Could I go two ahead, please, Scotty? Yes, there we go. So mission... People that we support in our different missions endeavor are people that... Probably some of you have never met before. You might not have even heard of them. I've never met Tudor and Violeta Prokopchuk. But they're tremendously respected friends and co-workers, co-laborers that worked with Kim and Sue worked with when they were in Moldova. We were supporting Kim and Sue up until the 31st of March this year. And they said, look, we're back home. We're not likely to go out except for different mission trips short term. Should the borders open up, and they will. But could we please consider giving some to this wonderful couple who are doing great things in Moldova? And it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit. And we divided the support that we normally had set aside for Kim and Sue to distribute to not only Tudor and Violeta, but also some people that you might know, Ross and Raywin Meredith, who Raywin, many will know, is from this house, sent from this house. I worked for a considerable amount of time in China, and since then they have been working in Malawi. And I think these two countries are number one and number two in the lowest GDP in the whole planet. So church, we're reaching out in our finances to good people in those two countries. The other people that are listed there, Kerry and Angela Hartley, they run the Hebron Mission Center. They live in Bell Block, but I put them under global because their main line of support are people all over the world, all over the planet, from South America to Taiwan to everywhere. Yeah, just about, not quite. But anyway, these guys are tremendous people, and we give to the Hebron Center as well. Tony and Neelam and his family, they have served the Lord in India for years and years. They're such great people. I've had the pleasure of being to India three times to work with them, and their ministry is phenomenally impacting for that nation. So they've seen hundreds of thousands come to Christ. He's got a goal of 1 million. And by golly, I think he'll probably get there. So they've been affected tremendously by COVID. We've had some special offerings as well that have gone at that time. But once again, these are people of high integrity and we've had relationship with for decades now. And I just want to acknowledge Deepak in that space as well. Deepak and Sandy have made, they've just kept that those connections going and they've made such a difference there, even in a personal way. So I've traveled with Deepak. It's like he's got such mana in that space. He's got mana here, but he's got such mana in that space. And Deepak, I want to honor you there. National Mission Support, we support our Lincoln's Network of Church. Fraser and Dale Hardy are the apostolic leaders in that. And we also support Cindy Ruakiri's Hariru Trust. Cindy, as you know, is also a daughter of the house, has been sent out. And she's got some tremendously effective ministry challenging the body of Christ and encouraging with a prophetic sound that she carries, a prophetic word that she carries. So we bless those. So these are the people that we support. And if we could go back to the slide before, Scotty. There's been a few changes over the last 2 years. I'm saying 2 years because kind of COVID's kind of put a little bit of a kibosh on a few things, hasn't it? Just altered a few things. Yeah, anyway. So a few things that have changed in the last 2 years. The building, we've changed front doors and doors, and we've renovated the upstairs offices and children area. Some people said, I've never been upstairs before. Did you know there is an upstairs? If you've never been upstairs, please feel as you exit the auditorium, take a right turn, head up, and have a look around. So there's been some new carpeting. We've even got the lino cleaned this week. It's looking good. And if women's toilets, if you need to spend a penny, check out the floors. Yeah, they're just looking brand new. In the upper room, yeah. Yeah, so, but have a look upstairs if you like. My office is the messiest. You don't need to go into it. Okay, all right. Hey, look, go up maybe next week or the week after, all right? Yeah, so, great. So other things that have happened in the people department, trustees, we've had three long-serving trustees. Scott Denham on the desk there. Scott, I want to honor you too. Scott has worked in so many different areas in this place. Staff, he's been staff, elder, and trustee in all of those different spaces, and he resigned from trustees this year. So, Scott, we thank you for all of your service and your support, and your ongoing support, too. Yeah, bless you. Yeah. Brooke Nielsen also resigned as a trustee this year, as well as Beth Lee. Beth, I want to honor you, too. You've just been absolutely amazing. You carry such vision and capacity and it's not the same without you, but thank you so much. And yeah, it's quieter. Yeah, no, yeah. Well, I'm you. That's good. And but there's been an appointment of Lynette Millage, and Lynette is just so lovely. You don't just start and hit the ground running. And Lynette's just quietly gone about the business, and she just brings such wisdom. And we thank you, Lynette. It's great to have you on board. Just after the first lockdown, our resource coordinator, Ali Bell, resigned, and she went to do some study, and she's continued this study this year. So we see her from time to time, but she resigned last year. And we appointed, I didn't actually say this on the PowerPoint, but Lydia has assimilated that role as well as keeping her role in leading the children's ministry area. And Lydia, once again, life is so fun with Lydia in the building. It really is. You carry such joy and faith, and you're really good at what you do. And a lot of the time during lockdown, Lydia has been the brains behind the technology that's allowed us to do the things we do. So there are so many things to be thankful for, Lydia, but we're just so glad that you're on the team. So bless you. A bull of a knuckle, yeah. But as I mentioned before, Nathan, when he stood up, and Nathan works with us part-time, and he sort of started just before our 40th anniversary and was so, so good. Just beautiful attitude, can do. And he's really smart, and Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of things. And Nathan, you've just seated in. As an operations manager, gets things done, right? One of the things that people, it's a myth of the pastor, right? The pastor knows everything and the pastor can do everything. That is a myth. The pastor is a human being. He does his or her best. And but he or she needs people around them, excellent people around them, to get the things done that need to be done. So Nathan, we so appreciate you being on board. So looking forward to a great future ahead. So bless you. The next slide, I think, is community initiatives. Scotty, if we could put that up, that'd be great. So one of the things that we do, and most of you will know this, but some of you it might just be new. We, at the end of 2019, we participated for the fifth or the sixth time in a two-yearly initiative called Deck the Rooms, and spearheaded by Marion Hodgkinson and Beth in the driving seat, and a lot of you also contributed in so many ways to make this place a special place, a place of encounter for the community. And in doing so, it enabled funds to be raised for the Women's Refuge. We've been partnering with them for over a decade now. This year, because of COVID, they did something completely different. 2021 would have been another Deck the Rooms year, but they did something else instead of fashion, something about fashion. So things have changed there and things have changed for us, but I also wanted to say thanks to the team for that. That's one of those more important things, that you realize that people know that we are a little bit different and maybe contribute to the health and life of the city. Supper at 6, I think, what, 15th, 16th, 17th year, 16th year? Community meal every Sunday night. There's people here on Teams. We just want to thank you, people who used to be on Teams. We want to thank you and acknowledge your thing there. People who might want to be interested in coming on board a team and helping once every 6 weeks prepare and serve a meal to our community people. Very, very important. They taught us about the us and them, you know. They taught us that it's not us and them, it's us. We host things. And there are guests, there are people of importance, there are people with mana. And once again, we've seen some tremendous things that have taken place as a result of that, including one being Paul Tapu. So we've often done things from time to time on the Sunday night, but since we've been able to this year, we've every fortnight we have this space called Paul Tapu. Paul can say Paul. Paul means night. Tapu, what does Tapu? It's sacred. Sacred night. And in fact, Sunday, the name for Sunday is Ra Tapu, holy day, Po Tapu, holy night. So here we are on Ra Tapu on Sunday. This is a space where it's kind of a little bit free-for-all. We, if you've been, it's fun, but there's a real freedom for people to express their worship to the Lord, prayer. And Richard and Sarah are really key people leading that. So that's a new initiative. Whakakite, once again, the third or fourth Whakakite, which is an annual women's conference, which was postponed from 2020, right? We're involved in Lincoln, in our local Christian leader in Lincoln Z. And another thing which we've grown on to support is Blue Santa. There's going to be some opportunities possibly to give. Blue Santa's an initiative of partnership with church and police, and this funding agency, not just church, by the way, but the police go into homes that they visited for their professional reasons, and there might be a husband or a wife that's out of the situation and in custody, but what they do is they, through the generosity of the community, they deliver and affirm their relationship with the family who's been affected that year, and that's been tremendous in building relationship in the wider community. Kotahitanga. Now, this was something that was a brainchild. Kotahitanga means the whole thing of being in unison, being together. We initiated that, and as a collective of city churches, and I think probably a number of you would have come, a group of about 2,000 gathered. Remember when those big numbers made a big difference? We got together in the TSB arena, and worship the Lord, honored the Lord in our togetherness. So those are all different initiatives. And there's other initiatives that I thought I'd mention, but maybe I mentioned later. I will mention this, is that with COVID and the inability to meet and gather together as we normally would, it's created opportunities for different people to operate in online spaces. There's been at least two significant things that have taken place. One initiated by Lydia and Gay, I believe, Lydia primarily, in reaching out to Pacific Island women. I think there's over 1,000 that were connecting at one stage, weren't there, online? Just a little devotional. Beautiful. And also Zoe and Jenna in their area of prophetic space and equipping people. But speaking of initiatives, we've been thinking about prayer, and God's been speaking to us about prayer, hasn't He? Remember when Fraser came down, and there was a real impartation at that moment, and I know, having talked about it with different ones of you, there's been a really reawakening of prayer, and we were talking about that in staff a few weeks ago, and I'd like to invite two tremendous people, Lydia and Debbie, if you'd like to come and share a little bit about some of the initiatives that they just sparked off. And I want you to get excited about them, because guess what? You can get involved. Thank you.
Good morning. Yes, we are so excited about prayer, and we believe it is so important, not only in our lives, but as a church. And that's something that me and Debbie has been planning this past 2 weeks, is getting the church back into prayer. I know that we have certain home groups that does their own studies and prayers, and we pray as a family, individual. But something that has been really stirring our spirit is to get the church to pray together. And, you know, we can witness that in the Bible, that the churches come together to pray. And, you know, the past few weeks, Beth shared James 5, James 5, verse 17, that really stood out for me. That says, I'm going to read it. Come on. That says, Elijah was a man with human frailties, just like us, but he prayed. You know, that statement really... you know, really stir my heart that, you know, he's just a normal person like you and me this morning. But the difference is that he prayed. And there was another story that really stood out in the Bible. It's from Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. And it's a well-known story about Moses, Aaron, and Hur. You know, the Bible says that Aaron and Hur helped Moses to put his hands up in order for Joshua and the army to conquer the enemy. And, you know, as I was thinking of this story, you know, it is so important that we come, you know, not only for the leaders, but come together. You know, when we look at this story, you know, God was able to deliver the victory because there were three people united together, you know, to keep Moses' hands up. And like for us as a church, we believe when we come together as a church, standing together in unity, in praying, we'll be able to see deliverance in our cities, in our families, you know, our children's salvation and restoration in relationships, and a breakthrough in our communities, in our cities. And as we look around us, you know, what is going on around the world, I think, you know, everyone is praying. But I think it will be really important for us to come as a church to pray together. And for me personally, you know, prayer is just one of the main things in my life, because I always pray for my children. And I know that in due time, God will bring them back to the fold. But as for, you know, as for us, as a church, we need to do that. You know, come in unity to see the salvation of our children, see the salvation of our loved ones, of our neighbors, because that's what God did. He sent His Son Jesus to die, not only for us. And to me, you know, I've seen Christians becoming so selfish, just thinking of their own salvation and never think of their neighbor, never think of their community. You know, and that's why we've talked about it through these past 2 weeks, and we are so excited about getting the church into prayers. And you know, and we have set up some good stuff that you won't be able to make an excuse. So we've come up with plans, and if you haven't got this one, let me know. I can give one each to you. And Debbie has been working hard in making out some plans so it can cater for everybody. Because we, at the end of the day, we don't want anybody to make an excuse. Oh, I can't come for prayer. Oh, I can, you know. But yeah, I'll give it over to Debbie and she'll explain the plan of prayer.
Okay. Morning. How you follow Lydia, I don't know, but anyway. So I'm the practical side of the thing. Lydia's the vision. She's the front lady, but I'm the person that thinks, how are we going to do this? So I've come up with a section about types of prayer, because I know that we all struggle to get to meetings. I know how difficult it is. We're tired, or we've been at work, or it's you know, it's a dark night and we don't want to go out. But I thought, well, and let's find ways to make it work for everybody so you can all get involved in prayer. And it doesn't mean that you have to lead a meeting. You even have to speak out loud at a meeting if that's an issue. But the idea is that you can pray at specific times without even leaving your home to get involved in prayer and be included. So we've come up with a list, which is on that leaflet that Lydia's created, about different ways we can get together to pray. So the first one is about strategic prayers, and this is particularly people that need to stay at home, can't go to meetings, and it's sort of really a bit of the bedrock really of support to everybody else. So if you're informed and you know that there is a certain meeting going on, or there's a certain topic that's being prayed about, that if you know about that, at certain times you can pray, and you can do it from home, and it just means we're constantly immersed in prayer, and the support's there for everybody then, and you don't feel, you know, because you didn't attend the meeting, oh, you missed out on something. So that's one of the options. The other one is about chain prayer, and this could be that you have a slot of half an hour when certain people are praying about different topics, different things, so you can dedicate that time to pray, but you don't have to physically get together with everybody. Another one is prayer walks, which I think we've done before, which are excellent. So you can walk around a certain area, and there doesn't have to be many of you, but you can just pray as you go around about certain places and the area in general. So you're actually just taking the prayer outside of church and taking it around everywhere. So, and then there's specific location praying, and that means designating a place. It could be the council offices, and a few of you could go up there, and you stand outside, and you immerse it in prayer. And that's just something different if you'd like to go outside and pray. The other one is Zoom prayer, which we're already doing to a degree because of lockdown and things. But that, if that suits people and they like the technology, then a few people can get together in a Zoom meeting and do prayer as well. The last thing is about pre-service prayer. And Lydia and I sort of realised that it's faded a bit, if that's the right sort of word. So the idea is, my idea was about highlighting it, is having banners, having signs up, so that when you come in, you don't go, is that an exclusive meeting or can I join? We want to draw you there to say, oh, actually, yeah, I should pray before the service. There are people rostered on to do it, but it doesn't exclude everybody else. Anyone can join it, but you need to feel that you're able to join it and not that it's an exclusive group. So that's the sort of main types of prayer. But the essence of what Lydia and I have been talking about is about everyone getting involved in prayer. And whatever way works for you, let's use that way. So this isn't just about Lydia and I and our ideas. It's about ideas that you might have. You might think of other ways that we can collectively get together in prayer, whether physical or you know, in different places. But come and talk to Lydia and I. Fill out the little survey card if you're interested in certain ways, different prayer types. And we'll try our best to try and get people together and connect people that like to do the same thing. And also then the idea is that the leadership will also nominate topics, things that they believe that we should be praying about. But you can nominate something. So if you, you know, have a concern about a particular area in the world or in New Zealand or whatever, you can put that forward and we can share that with the different groups that are meeting to get them to pray for you on different topics. So it's a bit of a two-way thing. This isn't just us giving out a directive to you. We want you to join in. So everybody has the opportunity to pray with somebody else in whatever way suits them. So no one will have an excuse. The other thing is about asking people is finding out what suits you so that, you know, it makes it easier to try and get groups together. And we're asking people if they can open their homes up and even do meetings in people's homes, because that sometimes is a bit more relaxed and comfortable as well. So that's really the essence of how we're going to try and get you all praying. So,
yeah. So the last thing is we're looking for people who can open up their homes for home prayer meeting, like to host prayer meetings. And I mentioned it to Chris and Beth. I said, I'm going to ask the Kaitiaki and the trustees if they could open up their homes, you know. But anyway, we don't force that. But if you are one of the families that are wanting to open up your homes, you are most welcome to do that. And I've shared this because for me, you know, going into people's home, it's sort of like always been a blessing to me. You know, as soon as I enter someone's home, I said, wow, I am so blessed that I can be invited into this home. And that's how I always look at it. And I always love, you know, to go into people's home, because I know and I felt welcome and I feel like a sort of belonging when I'm invited into people's home. So if you are here and you're ready to open up your home, and me and Debbie said it's going to be only an hour prayer, you know, not Pacific time, you know, because, you know, Fiji time, going to be Kiwi time, like say 7 o'clock to 8 or 6:30 to 7:30. Just going to go in, do what we need to do, and come out. We're going to leave that with you people. And if you have any other questions, please do fill out the form, because we want to start as soon as possible. And I believe that, you know, we as a church, we need to come back to the basics, prayer and fasting. And I know that that's something that has been stirring our hearts, that we need to get the church together in prayer. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I just invite Kaitiaki up, please? One of the things that I'm very conscious of is that Jesus made a special point that my house should be a house of prayer. If we're just a religious club, that's wonderful, isn't it? But prayer changes things. And we're just aware of that. But remember I mentioned more taku he. Let's all say it. More taku he. There it is. We stand here as a group because taku means taking personal responsibility. Aku means we're taking collective responsibility. So as representatives of Kaitiaki this morning, we're missing, as I say, Blake and Brooke, but we stand together in this this next little segment. So I'm going to, the microphone's going to get passed progressively to my left, so, and it's going to get even more and more awesome Yeah, so anywho, one of the highlights for us this year was celebrating our church's 40th anniversary. It's a pretty special time, and we got together, had some plans and some dreams and all that sort of stuff, and we wanted to create memorable spaces for as wide a range of people as possible. And I want to just also acknowledge the team and the effort that they put in to create these beautiful, beautiful spaces. And it was a wonderful time. But you know what? Even with the best intent, we have received some feedback and had conversation and soul searching as kaitiaki relating to our Friday night celebration. And we've come to realize that in hosting a two-tier space of dinner and supper, we created an us and them situation, almost like a division, where a number felt left out and upset. It seemed that in honoring some, others felt diminished. And that's horrible. So Beth and I want to offer our personal apology. And as kaitiaki, we stand together and collectively own this mistake, and in acknowledgement that we got this wrong. So mō takuhe, mō akuhe. We own it and unreservedly apologize for our shortcomings and for getting this wrong. If you are affected by this, mō takuhe.
You know, James 5 mentions to us that we confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another, and then pray for one another to be instantly healed. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Elijah was a man with human frailties, just like all of us. But he prayed and received supernatural answers. He actually shut the heavens over the land so there would be no rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again and the skies opened over the land so that the rain came again and produced the harvest. And we're praying again that we would be healed and that those who were hurt, that were diminished in their thoughts in and around the supper time, being a separate space, that we are praying that you will be healed, that the heavens would open again, and that we can be together in this as City Life Whānau. So, mō taku here for that diminishing act that was not our intent at all. So we are going to pray and hand it to.
Okay, I was just thinking about this morning, and we're going to have communion together, and I just had this prayer that Paul speaks to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesians, or Philippians, actually, it's Philippians, and as the words have just been going around and around in my mind. Would you better get my phone, Dave? Thanks. Yep, lovely. And I was just thinking, as we have communion together, I just felt like this was a prayer that we could just pray over each other and into each other. So thanks, Dave. I'll just find it. So I'll get Scott to put that up. I'd seen it in the Amplified version, which I really liked because it just... I'll step on that. So let's read it. So it's Philippians 1, verse 9. And this is what Paul prays. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more, displaying itself in greater depth, in real knowledge and in practical insight, so that you may learn to recognize and treasure what is excellent, identifying the best and distinguishing moral differences, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, actually living lives that lead others away from sin, filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God, so that his glory may be both revealed and recognized. I just thought, what a beautiful prayer that we could pray together with each other. And that whole thing of abounding love is just not, it's not about just enough, it's more than enough. It's enough for everyone and then more. And love that spills out from our body, our family of believers, into communities, into every space that we walk into. And then I was just thinking about how this prayer also talks a little bit about recognizing what is excellent. And I just had a wee read this morning. It was talking about how the early church, you know, they needed knowledge to know what was right and excellent. There was many choices they could make. And some of them were just like, oh, you know, what should we do? Should we eat and drink this? Or what should we do in this situation? What is the right response? And I just thought even that paralleled very much just that desire of needing to have wisdom and to know and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit about what decisions we make, because there may be one or more choices that we could make. And so that's just the wisdom that he's talking about here, knowing what is excellent. So, that's our prayer this morning. So I'm just going to read that prayer out to you, and I'll read it out again in the Passion Translation. So, and then we'll just have communion together. So let's pray. I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase beyond measure, bringing you into the rich revelation of spiritual insights in all things. This will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all, becoming pure and without offense until the unveiling of Christ, and you will be completely filled with the fruits of righteousness that are found in Jesus, the Anointed One, bringing great praise and glory to God. Amen. Amen. So just come and help yourself to some communion. Yes, Deepak.
Thank you. I just want to thank all the trustees. I'm so grateful to you all, you know, working along with me and sometimes disagreeing, sometimes agreeing. But always the trustees have been unanimous in their decision. So far I've been working on the trustees. And we might have different views. We agree to disagree. We are humans after all, and we talk about unity. Just like the Katiaki and the leadership in this church and the body of Christ and praying. We always open the trustee meeting with prayer. We close with a prayer. So I think it is very important that, you know, we take that into account. It's like, you know, the church here is a big machinery. This building, thank you for all giving generously. And we have never stretched our hand for any offering or anything ever. So thank you for making this happen. And I personally am grateful on behalf of the trustees as well. And we've been never short of finances. It's amazing how God is faithful. If we are faithful, God is faithful. So I think it works both ways as well. And this machinery requires, you know, a lot of spirit, which is the leadership standing here, gives us spiritual guidance. But again, this machinery also requires oil, which is in money, so that it moves properly and works through. So I think if spiritually we are right, I think physically we'll be right. So I just want to thank the leadership trusting us with everything, just the money part of it. We're not running away.
Thanks, Steve Pat, for those words. So let's just get ourselves some communion, get into just some small groups and space yourself out for safety. And let's just pray. Let's pray for abounding love to grow in us and between us, to bind us together in that love, and for the wisdom that comes from the knowledge of that love.